Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
And good evening. Welcome to The Parent Show. You're listening to Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Shirley Heyman.
And I'm Lydia El-Khoury. Now, we've a packed show for you tonight with lots of experts on their subjects.
Good financial planning is important in any household. So tonight we've got in a local financial advisor, Simon Beadle from Wagstaff Wealth Management. And we're going to be picking his brains about what's the best thing to do to secure our children's financial future.
After that, we're going to get to grips with a topic on everyone's tongues at the moment, authorised and unauthorised absences. Before, it was all at the discretion of our head teachers, but the rules seem to have changed recently and there seems to be a bit of confusion about where the buck stops and what the process is now.
Yeah, I mean, Lydia, I don't know if you know, but it was even in the headline tonight on the Mail Online. A father of five, he's a school governor and a farmer in Macclesfield, the paper reports, took his 13-year-old daughter out of school for 11 days. And the reason why, he says he's claiming to have saved almost £5,000 on his holiday costs by doing this.
It's a huge amount of money. And there are so many voices that we need to hear about on this subject. Like, is it the fault of the travel agents who exploit our inflexibility to take holidays outside term time? Is it the Department of Education for changing the rules and taking the decision out of head teachers' hands? Or is it the work of the implementing body for not making things clear for parents or carers? Is it the schools? I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We want to try and get to the bottom of this one tonight. So we've got our legal expert here, Mary McAvoy from Neve Solicitors in Harpenden. And we're going to talk to her about whether we have the right to take our children out of school during term times under exceptional circumstances or not. And, you know, what are the rules? How can we as parents understand our position?
And after that, we're going to speak to Mary Banton, who is the Central Attendance and Employment Support Team Manager from Hertfordshire County Council. But let's get straight into our financing. Let's get the money subject out of the way. Joining us in the studio, we have Simon Beadle from Wagstaff's Wealth Management. Simon, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for joining us. Now, listen, tell us, what should we be thinking about as parents to make sure our finances are in order?
Well, first of all, it sounds like taking your children out of school in term time to save the £5,000 isn't a bad start. I'm joking. I mean, probably the first thing to do is just to talk you through experiences. I mean, I'm a father to a wonderful 6-year-old son, Sammy. He's probably in bed not listening. And I'll tell you the story that I've been through with Sam and also the story that I have with my clients. So I'm going to give you three quick tips on the things that really should be doing. New Year, New Year's resolutions. So first of all, everyone needs to get their will in order. You know, the rules of intestacy, i.e. dying without a will, are so complicated, you're going to end up with loved ones suffering, not only emotionally, but also potentially financially, because it's going to be so much trouble trying to sort out your affairs if you pass away without the will. Claire and I aren't married, so that makes things even more complicated. So number one, first thing we did was make a will for ourselves, but also then to look at what would happen to Sam if we were to pass away. So that's tip number one. Are you ready for another one?
Yes, please.
The next one's a bit dull, but really important, is getting all your insurances in order. So I'm not talking about car insurance, I'm talking about your life cover, your critical illness cover, and your income protection. So this is the sort of stuff that, you know, if something happens to you, your family are going to be looked after. And this doesn't have to be terribly complicated or terribly expensive. First place to turn to is to your employer. You know, do they have a death in service scheme? Just join it. If you're not aware, go and ask your HR guys and see if you're there. Link to that. Make sure that you've got your nominations in order. So if you pass away, it goes to who you want to, because again, that can cause trouble. Then also dust down those old policies that I know all your listeners have got at the bottom of their drawers. Bring them all out and make sure they're up to date. Then have a close look at them and talk to your insurer and say, is this policy in trust? Reasons being, I see too many clients who've done the right things. They've taken out some protection or some life cover, and that's great. But that's only half the challenge. You need to make sure, in most cases, those policies are written into trust. Reasons being, if you pass away, and again, the money might not flow where you want it to do.
Oh, okay.
So life cover, insurances, trust.
Excuse my ignorance. What does a trust mean?
Yeah, okay. A trust is a horribly complicated sounding thing, but it's not. Right. All it really is a legal document that makes sure that any benefits are controlled and go to where you want them to. So it's a guidance tool, but it's also really important with my tax planning head on. So don't get worried about the complicated, horrible legal things. They're not. They're just something to control and control some tax for you. They're not difficult to do.
Really?
You don't believe me. They are.
That's why people exist, Simon.
Yeah, and again, there's loads of stuff on the internet. It's not just about talking to me or solicitors. Have a look on the internet. You know, there's loads of useful tools now that actually can help you do this. You know, if you've got any questions or doubts, you know, dust them down and talk to your insurer, talk to an advisor, or talk to a solicitor. I mean, let me give you an example. We picked up some clients recently that had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of life cover. If they'd have passed away, the money wouldn't have gone to the children, and actually it would have cost them tens of thousands of pounds worth of tax. You know, for the sake of half an hour and a dull conversation, it's well worth doing. And can I give you my third one?
Please.
Again, this is quite dull, but budgeting. You know, children are expensive. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be in the back of your notebook, or it can be an Excel spreadsheet, but how you want it to be. List what money you've got coming in and list what money you've got going out. Just such a simple thing, but it really, really will save you heartache down the line.
Can you see the miserable look on my face, Simon?
It's more miserable if you go to a payday loan company.
Yeah.
So save yourself a bit of hassle. It is... Yeah.
Get it all done. So do you think an annual budget, a monthly budget? How do you do it?
However people want to do it. I do it monthly, personally. I know some people get paid weekly, some people do it quarterly. Whatever suits you. And it doesn't have to be down to the decimal places. Just work out what's coming in, what's going out. And from there, you're going to be able to see maybe some savings. And that's going to be my last tip down the line. So I'm going to keep that one in the bag, if I may.
Yeah, okay. You certainly can.
Now, you've mentioned children already just briefly then, Simon. And I just wondered, is there anything we can do for kind of the future security of our children? Any tips or, you know, products you could suggest?
Yeah, okay. So there's two things in this. You've got to look after yourself and you've got to look after the children. So I'm going to use the P word, pensions. Oh.
Okay.
Not what you're thinking. Again, go back to your employer. Have you got a pension in place? If so, join it. There's lots of regulations coming around that means your employer's going to put money into your pension pot. You might have seen the adverts, you know.
Yeah.
Therapy fetus, I'm putting in. You know, it again, dull, boring. You're in pain, Lydia. I can see your face. But it's worth doing. So you've got to look after yourself. Make sure you've got your insurances in place. Make sure you're saving for your own future. Now we'll talk about the kids. Get them used to saving.
Okay.
Little Sammy gets his pocket money and he understands, you know, what the value of that is. He understands what the pounds can buy him, and he understands that if he saves them up, he can buy a bit more. He also understands, you know, if I save a bit longer and a bit harder, I can afford things. So probably one of the biggest things, rather than talking about products and junior ISAs and all that kind of stuff, is just teaching them, educating them, you know, this is what money does. Six might sound a bit young, you know, they grow up really quickly. Mm. So get them into that habit.
Well, they say there's so often in parenting, don't they? It's like get your good practice in as early as possible. It's never too early.
I don't sit down and talk to Sammy about pensions and ISAs. We had a little rehearse last night about tonight and I asked him some questions and he said, Daddy, it was rubbish. So I promised I wouldn't do that.
Have you said hello to him?
Yeah, hi, Sammy. He's going to be in bed, I hope. No, he won't be. You know, the education doesn't have to be difficult, but it is just talking to them about, you know, you've got £3, you can go and buy some sweets and a comic. You save it up for a couple more weeks, you might be able to go and buy yourself a Lego game or a Lego toy or something like that. And it just has to be as simple as that. Getting that discipline back. It doesn't have to be complicated. And again, there's loads of great resources on the web. Martin Lewis, money saving expert, love that guy, love his website, and that's got some great hints and tips.
Right.
We can talk to the cows come home about saving into junior ISAs and these things. My top tip would be do some financial education with the kids.
I like your take on it, because it's about getting that habit early, as you're saying, Lydia, isn't it?
Exactly.
Getting them to do it, not us do it for them.
Too right. And you know, it's funny, the school where my son goes to had a maths morning this week to educate us about, you know, the curriculum, the new curriculum, and where they stand in maths. But the point that they were making most was like, if you're working out your sums, if you're, you know, doing your budgeting, let involve your child. Yeah. Make maths practical. Let them understand it. You know, even if they don't, let them try to understand it. Let them see you working with numbers and don't scare them.
Get them
about
involved.
These kind of things.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, little Sammy. Once you're seven, you can open up your own bank accounts. You know, him and I. I know. Oh God, this sounds really dull. But now I'm going to say, you know, what are we going to do with your money? What bank account do you want? You know, just get him understanding. You know, you put some money away. It's safe, it's secure, it might grow a bit, and then you can use it if you really need something. So get them involved with it would be a good tip. So that's a six-year-old. I'm going into schools in Stevenage next month where my institute, we're trying to educate some of the older chaps. So we've got some workshops and classes going on, all fantastically arranged, where we're going to teach them about the things I'm talking about, saving a bit, protecting your future, retirement, these kind of things. So there are some programs out there. So it's not just, you know, the little ones. There are people now who are going to be broaching university in a few years that we're trying to help, and it's just education and involvement.
Great.
I could talk about juniorises if you want. I'm teasing.
Junior,
I won't.
You can save that for the next time.
Thanks.
Simon, now listen, what are your top finance tips
okay.
for us?
Right, okay, I'm going to bundle all this in together.
Okay.
The first, the biggest thing to be is just be financially aware. So I've talked about budgeting. I'm now going to talk about saving money. So, you know, use coupons. Use discount vouchers. If you're going to buy something, do you need it? Sleep on it. Think about it again. Salesmen are not our friends, so haggle with them, you know. Talk to Sky, you're going to leave them. Just be financially aware about these sort of things. Linked again onto the budgeting, get into good habits. So just start to save a little bit of money, put a bit away early on in the month if you can, and just try to save a little bit of money on that. Looking at debt, you know, debt isn't bad. Bad debt is bad. So, you know, shop around on your credit cards. Balance transfers out there at the moment, 30 months interest-free credit. Have a look and have an apply and see if you can do that. Pay down those horrible debts. So just be financially aware. It's not just about coming to see an advisor or a lawyer. Use the web, use the press. There's so much resource out there. And the biggest thing I can do is just to spend some time on this. Don't ignore it. There's lots of other different things you can be doing. But, you know, just spend an hour a month looking at the budget, looking at your income, looking at your outgoings. Where are you spending money and where can you save money? Swap your utilities, these kind of things. So, you know, just spend maybe an hour a month looking at things and just saying, can I save some money? Can I do things a little bit differently? So that's my final tip. Just be aware and take responsibility for it.
Thank you, Simon.
No,
now, you've been quite modest and, you know, you've not said much about you, but say somebody likes the sound of your voice. Can they call you? Where can they get hold of you?
Right, okay, so we're Wagstaff's Wealth Management. We're based up in Stevenage. We're a team of six really good guys who just help people with the world of finance. So it is everything about saving for the future and ISAs and pensions, but more importantly, it's just helping educate people to make smart financial decisions.
Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
Welcome.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Simon. Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, thank you very much to Simon Beadle from Wagstaff's for giving us our financial overview for the year. There's lots of good tips in there. Now, we're switching the topic altogether now, and we're moving on to a topic that's all over the news, has been for the last couple of weeks, and that is authorised and unauthorised absences from school. So it's a hot topic. We would love to get to the bottom of it. There are so many people, so many different bodies involved in this conversation, aren't there, Shirley?
Yeah, like, that's right.
There's the Department of Education, there's head teachers, there's the county council or the local authority that are involved, and a lot of the discussion on the news is actually criticising travel agents for exploiting us, really, and exploiting the fact that we have no flexibility. But I think that's a topic we're not going to get too stuck into right now. What we'd like to do is, first of all, get a legal overview of the situation, and we have the best in our studio now. We've got Mary McAvoy from Neave Solicitors to talk about us. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Mary, okay. We've got quite a lot of questions come in and people have emailed in before the show, so we'd like to get straight on with it, if that's okay.
Yep.
First of all, we just wondered, can you tell us What's the actual legal situation, Mary, regarding holidays during term time, as you understand the law as a lawyer?
You're not allowed to take the children out of school now for holidays. The regulations have changed, and leave of absence is allowed if there's been an application in advance, but the head teacher has complete authority over absences, and he can't allow children to leave school for holidays.
Right, OK, so there's no flexibility in that.
No.
That's just exactly
that's
the law.
That's a change. That's a change that came in September. Previously, the regulations had said that children could have up to 10 days leave, and parents were interpreting that as giving them permission to go away for up to 10 days,
okay,
which was very disruptive for schools. And the government's advisor on behaviour, Charlie Taylor, in April 2012, reported that this was a real problem for schools, so the government changed the regulations.
Right. So who is the actual implementing body then? Who's it's the government saying
the
this
government
now.
Changed the rules,
right.
The regulations that now govern this, which the schools have to observe. The head teachers have overall authority over absences, and they have to implement the regulations. So if you want to take time out of school, you have to justify it. When you talk to your head teacher, you have to give him notice, and you have to explain why you want time off. And there's certain absences that are allowed, for example, for religious practices, the travelling community, if they're travelling for work, may take their children out. There's certain rules about how far away from the school you live, and whether it's within walking distance. There's about 8 different criteria where you can be allowed to take time off. I can go through them with you if you want, but holidays is not one of them.
Oh, okay.
So if you are applying and describing the reason for your leave of absence as holidays, there is no.
That's how I understand it.
No way that can be accepted.
Yeah. And that really seems to have been the purpose of the change in the rules.
Right. And talk to us about fines, Mary. I know this is what's been in the news a lot. Mary, you were saying, Shirley, somebody there was something on the front page of the Daily Mail today about
Mail Online,
Mail Online about being fined. Can tell us what's the legal situation in relation to fines?
Well, if you take an unauthorised absence, then the head teacher can impose a fine, and there are certainly other people who are authorised to, like a policeman who finds a child roaming the streets, or the assistant head or the deputy head. And it's a fine of £60 per child, and each parent can be fined, although it's unlikely, I would have thought, that both parents would be fined. If the fine's paid within 21 days, if it's paid outside that, it'll be £120 up to 28 days. If the higher penalty isn't paid, then the Education Welfare Service can institute legal proceedings. I think they'd want to investigate quite carefully before they did and explore what other options were available, but I'm sure the other guest will be able to explain that to you. But actually, the penalties can really be quite severe. There's a fine of up to £2,500 per parent, per child, for an aggravated situation, or even a 3-month imprisonment. So for really serious cases, you could be I think you'd have to behave quite badly and quite disrespectfully to the school,
but I was
those
reading,
penalties are available.
I was reading one actually today, Mary, and it said that the parents hadn't paid the first fine, it went up to 120, and then they were charged court costs of £70 each as well.
If you go to court, you'll end up with court costs. Yes.
Right.
So it's the outlook's pretty grim. So are the fines a new thing, Mary? Were they not in place before?
They were, but they've gone up. I think they were £50 and they've gone up to 60, and I think the upper limits have all changed as well.
And it seems to actually be happening. I mean, around the mums that I've been talking to over the last few months really, we've all been kind of discussing whether this is actually happening or whether it's a bit of an urban myth that, you know, if you take your kids out, you're going to be fined. But it seems to be genuinely happening. Parents are getting fined, but the rules don't seem to be 100% clear about not getting fined. You know, people have taken their kids out for holidays and they've never, you know, never been fined.
Yes.
It seems like they've got stricter on the implementation of the fines this year.
Yes. Well, of course, up to September last year, the head teachers had discretion.
So it was September.
So they didn't. They could allow holidays and absences of that kind, but they can't now. So that may be why people are more aware of the fines. I think the education department have been really concerned about the number of absences, and they can be quite serious. And of course, if children are consistently taken out of school, they can end up missing a lot of school time. So I suppose it's about refocusing people's priorities.
Great, absolutely. And I know, as a parent myself, I mean, I can understand the concern that your children might be missing out on their education, and obviously nobody wants to do that. But it feels like up until a certain age, you know, an amount of time, taking your children out for 7 days, or 5 days, five school days, if you're diligent and catch up with schoolwork, you know, make sure that they don't miss out on anything, that it doesn't need to be so severely dealt with. I don't.
Well, it's going to be.
It is.
That's the law. Well, that's the law, and it'll be up to the schools how they implement their policies, and up to the local authority how they implement theirs. Looking on the website today, it did look as if different authorities have slightly different emphases. But I think the hard and fast rule is you just can't take your children out of school for holiday. That's it.
You can't do it anymore. Right. And obviously, you know, as
It'll be an unauthorised absence, obviously. One hears on the internet people saying, well, I'll pay the fine.
Yeah.
It's still, if you're saving me £5,000 on holiday, it's.
This is it. And I mean, obviously, you're a solicitor, Mary, and you wouldn't condone any. You know, infringement of the law, but I mean, a lot of people, a lot of the discussion on the media at the moment is kind of nudging people in the direction of calling it being sick, you know, instead of calling it a holiday, addressing it in another way. I mean, that's
well, I think the schools will be monitoring absences as well, and they have to. Of course, one of the impacts of unauthorised absence or any absence is that it affects the school's stats for Ofsted and their grading and so on. So, and that impacts then on the children in the school. If the school's not regarded as a good school, then, you know, numbers drop off and so on.
On 92.6 FM and online at radioverulam.com. Your place, your voice, your music. Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. And now we are dealing with hot topic of the of 2014, I think we can say, in relation to what parents are talking about. We've just spoke to Mary McAvoy from Neave Solicitors about the legal perspective on unauthorised absences. And now we're going to talk to Mary Bainton, who's a Central Attendance and Employment Support Team Manager from Hertfordshire County Council. Mary, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for asking
me. For coming into the lion. Is it the lion's den?
It is. It does feel like the lion's den.
No, we're being nice to you. No, we're not. We're not here to grill you or anything like that. But it's, I mean, there's so much talk in the school lines and everything about what we're allowed to do.
And it's a very difficult and emotive subject. I do understand that.
So, I mean, first things first, Mary, who are we supposed to, as parents, write to get permission for holidays during term time, or, you know, we just don't do it?
Well, as Mary has said to you earlier, that I think the first thing to emphasise is that the changes in the regulations effectively prohibited head teachers for granting leave of absence for holidays in term time. Now, the slight difference where I'd slightly disagree is that under very exceptional circumstances, parents can apply for leave of absence, but it's for the head teacher to decide how long they might grant that. And so this isn't your ordinary week or a fortnight's holiday. This might be a very exceptional circumstance that isn't legislated for. It's for the head teacher to decide. And I think we are talking extreme cases of imminent bereavement or, you know, that sort of issue. The word holiday has been removed from the regulations. So,
okay, thank you. You've made that really clear. Now, we had an email in from somebody, one of the listeners. I just wondered if I could read it to you and maybe you could respond to it. It says, "Hello, Parents Show. I have a 4-year-old who is at school in reception year." So 4, four-year-old. My other son is in a different school and their holiday times are different. Earlier in the month, I made a mistake and I booked a holiday for July, thinking they would both be off. I subsequently realised my four-year-old would miss a week of school right at the end of the summer term. I don't want him missing school, but also I don't want to upset the family we are going on holiday with by changing all the plans. I've been told anecdotally that because my son is four, there's no legal foundation that the school could take against me. So her first question is this true? What is the best course of action to take? And she just said, wanted to say that the younger son is moving out of this particular school in September anyway to join his brother. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, indeed. I mean, she is right. Children don't have to attend school. Education isn't compulsory until the term after you're five. And there isn't any legal action that can be taken against her. We wouldn't issue it wouldn't be illegal to issue a penalty notice. So, yes, that person is quite right there. And I sympathise with her situation. These things arise. I mean, generally speaking, it's really important that children attend nursery school, and there's a social contract that you make when you enrol your child at a school which says you'll abide by the rules, you'll encourage attendance, and as your previous speaker was saying, these habits are instilled early, so a child who gets used to attending every day for nursery school will take those habits forward into primary and secondary school.
Yeah, I can see that that's actually very good thinking.
And as in terms of advice, talk to the head teacher.
Right.
You know, go and speak to them. Don't hide it. Explain.
Okay. Great. And Mary, can you tell us, so who changed the rules? Where is this shift coming from originally?
You're right. It's a change in the legislation. As Mary said, Charlie Taylor made some recommendations 2011 to Michael Gove and the government about the number of school days lost through family holidays. And last year, it wasn't for the whole year, it was for two terms, there were 3 million school days lost. So it's been a real concern to the government. First of all, they tried encouraging people not to do it, and then it wasn't making much difference. So they actually changed the regulations, which are statutory regulations. So it's a change in the law which prohibits term time holidays.
And was that done in consultation with schools, or is it something that's been kind of implemented onto schools, or is...
That's a good question, because I'm not sure of Michael Gove's and Charlie Taylor's thinking on this, and I don't know what the background to that was, but certainly the number of school days lost for absence for term time holidays is significant, and it amounts to something like 8.3% of all absence nationally. So it's a significant issue for a country who are trying to improve the educational attainment of young people.
Lydia, have you got another question, I think,
I do,
you,
indeed,
from a listener?
We've got a question from Pam Clark. The guidance from our school seems very black and white, that we should absolutely not be taking our children out of school for any reason, even on those last few days of school, when, to be honest, they just play and watch DVDs. In reality, is there a certain level of tolerance, for example, number of days per year, that would not result in a fine or legal action being taken?
Okay. The issue of the last couple of days of school term, I had quite a lot of phone calls and upset from parents about that. And I think that's a different issue. I think just because they're playing video games or doing, I'm sorry, video games, they're playing games on the last days of term. I think if parents have got a problem with that, I think that's something that they need to address with their child's school. I don't think that's a reason for justifying taking them out, especially as it's now illegal. In every authority, as you'll have picked up from the reporting, have different levels where a fine will be issued. And in Hertfordshire, the number of sessions unauthorised absence is 21 sessions. So that's 10 and a half school days in the current or the previous term. So there is, I mean, there's quite a lot, you know, there's a, we don't take action lightly. But the message that we really want to get through, and the government wants to get through, that every school day is important. Every day that your child isn't in school, they are missing out on curriculum, they're missing out on activity. Teachers are having to redo lessons and reinforce the learning. But also it's about the messages that we give to children as we want them to become responsible adults. By taking your child out against the authorisation, where the head teacher hasn't authorised this, you're actually saying that we'll pick and choose what rules we comply with. We will pick and choose whether we really follow the law, because actually what the change in legislation has meant, what authorised absence is potentially a criminal, well, it is a criminal offence, it's against the law, and potentially they're saying, well, we're not going to take any notice, and I don't think that's a good message to develop the young citizens, as it were, of the future.
You're saying young. I mean, can you just clarify for parents listening, what age children are we talking about this now applying to?
Right, it's children of statutory school age, so that's as though those who have already achieved their fifth birthday and are in school. And for young people who are 16, it's end of statutory education is the last Friday of June in the year that they're 16, so it's to the end of year 11 in most people's language.
Right, so it doesn't apply after 16?
It doesn't apply after 16. There isn't a statutory, there's no enforcement for children's attendance after the age of 16.
But obviously, I think any parent out there, that's probably the time you're least likely in your children's future to ever take them out of school, because obviously the pressure that from 16 onwards is just immense.
Absolutely. And I did see some statistics on Tuesday from the Department of Education, which showed very clearly that the most absence is in primary school, and it actually dips in secondary with another big dip once you get to the exam period. So parents are obviously taking notice, and you know, I don't believe that parents willfully act against their children's intentions, best intentions.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I as a parent, I certainly wouldn't consider it in secondary school, because I think the pace of learning is so much higher. But I have a 5-year-old in reception, you know, and I think I have the sense to know the difference between taking a child out for a week in reception and first year of secondary school. I mean, there's just two different periods in their lives, aren't they, you know?
I think it's hard, because you've also got to consider that children in primary school are going to be sick a lot more, and there's going to be other absences. And the same message is there, really, that I understand that families want time and holidays together, but I think we need to give the messages that time in school is important. And it's not just the learning in school, particularly at primary school, it's the social interaction. Your child isn't there for a week, they miss out on the social interactions that are going on, as well as the taught curriculum.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you said you weren't going to talk about holidays, Lydia, but I just have to say, one of the things I've been told recently is people would rather pay the fine, because it's still less money than, you know, they'll save more money on the holiday.
I think that's, I mean, that's right. Yeah. That's indisputable.
So should the fine be more?
Well, that's not down to the local authority. That is down to government. That's right. Legislated for as well. They've shortened the timescales for the payment of fines quite noticeably, and actually more people are paying fines. But again, I think the messages that one wants to get across are not the punishment messages. It's the messages that say to people, it's important to be in school, and every day you're in school, it should be a worthwhile learning experience.
Great. Mm. Mary, can we, we've got another parent question in. This is from Karen Penn, who is a parent governor. And she said, I understand the LA is the body who sends out the fines. Is a parent then actually dependent on the policy of their LA? I believe all head teachers' letters in Barnet will trigger a fine, but in Hertfordshire the policy is not to charge until a child has missed more than 20 sessions of school, i.e. 2 weeks. So being fined is a bit of a postcode lottery that most parents are currently not aware of.
There is an element of a postcode lottery in that all local authorities have to set a code of conduct, which is set in consultation with head teachers, police, other community partners, including politicians. And in Hertfordshire, the number of sessions absent is 21 sessions. It's 10 and a half school days.
Because a session, as you described to us off air, is half a day.
Half a day, that's right. So in Hertfordshire, any application is made to the local authority, mostly by the school. So when we're talking about these holiday absences, this is not at the request of Hertfordshire, it's at the request of the head teacher. They apply to us with evidence of the absence, evidence that they've made it clear that they won't be authorising that absence. And then if that meets our code of conduct, then the local authority issues the fine. Now, again, in terms of the fine, if the parent doesn't pay the fine, there are legislated reasons. There are only specific reasons why the local authority might withdraw that fine. And then the actual law says that we will prosecute. So whereas in a more complex case of non-attendance, we would work with the family. If the fine is issued and the fine is not paid, because what the fine is doing is giving the parent the opportunity to discharge their liability for non-school attendance. So if they don't pay that, then we are obliged to prosecute the parent under the Education Act, under Section 444.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Can I ask, I mean, how many fines are coming through Hertfordshire, do you know, like on a month?
Oh, if you'd given me more notice, yeah. I would have been able to tell you.
But, I mean, a few, or do you know?
No, quite a lot. Yeah, we saw, it's so annoying because I should have had that information for you. But what I can tell you is there was an 80% increase last year on the year before. And with this change in the legislation, we're looking at probably doubling that again.
Gosh.
So it's pretty serious stuff. The parents are right to be taking this very seriously. Mm.
Parents are right to take their children's education seriously, yes.
I think people generally do around here from what we see and hear,
absolutely.
Don't they, Lydia?
I don't think there's any lack of parental engagement.
No.
With anybody I know from any of the schools I know, I think it's just that struggle between trying to be able to afford a holiday. For example, we went to rent it before my son started school. We rented a 2-bed apartment by the sea in May. Mm-hmm. It was £600 for a week. Lovely. If we had gone during term time, during holiday time, it went up to £1,500. You know, it's a considerable increase.
Yes.
And you think, you know, obviously it puts it out of most people's reach. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the consideration. And sorry, Shirley, what I meant was I don't think we should get into how we're going to reform the travel industry, because I think that's a conversation for a whole show. And is it fruitless? Can we really change the kind of travel business mentality? Can we tell them to you know, charge less when they're probably at capacity charging exactly what they're charging now? You know, why would they, out of benevolence, lower their rates because some people can't afford to have families? But like I said, that's a whole extra conversation.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think that a lot of this has been it's structural. We're still working to 3 school terms, and I think they're my personal, this is not a Hertfordshire view, but my own personal view is that there are structural things that could be done to make this easier and make us less dependent, if you like, on the whims of the travel industry.
That's a really good point, Mary. Thank you. We had one more question. I don't know whether you can answer this one, but it's saying, is there a difference for the parents if their child is in a private school versus the state schools? And that's from Kathleen, who emailed in.
Okay. Parents still have the same legal responsibility to ensure that their children have an education, which they will be fulfilling by sending their child to a private school. The fines don't apply. That legislation is all about maintained schools, academy schools, free schools, but right. not independent schools.
So I suppose for some parents there's something to be said for homeschooling, Lydia, isn't there? That's another show we're going to be doing, but that would get you around this. But right, well, Mary, you know, thank you so much. It's great to have someone in that knows.
Really knows. You know, sorry, knows can I stuff. Just run through things with you, Mary? So under fives, the law doesn't apply until the term after. So if we're getting really specific, if your child turns five in January, that means that until the summer term,
yes,
the law doesn't apply. So for the spring term, it doesn't apply still. Is that it?
That would be right, yeah.
So 21 sessions until a fine kicks in, but obviously it's just really frowned upon under any circumstances to take a holiday.
It is, and the fine will only kick in if the school applies to the local authority for that fine.
Right, so you apply to your school as you always did.
Yes.
Then it's at your school's discretion to contact the local authority if they feel that it's remiss of the parents to do this.
They would apply to us. And I think that head teachers, they have had to take a firm line on this. And we are seeing the first applications specifically related to holidays coming through. And it's not that they're being nasty. They've got to enforce the law. They've got to enforce the regulations. They've got Ofsted to answer to too.
Absolutely. And I mean, if fines are increasing by 80% already, and it's in the hands of our head teachers, it tells me that that's what the head teachers want. It's not something that's been imposed on them. It must be something that they feel the need to implement, or else they wouldn't be calling for these fines.
Yes, I think broadly speaking that head teachers would say that they need something to back up their decision making and to reinforce their authority. So I think broadly speaking head teachers would be in agreement.
It feels like that. And of course we have to trust our educators to make the right decisions for our children. They know the pace and the level of learning that they're going through. So, I mean, I'm delighted from what you've told me that it still is at the discretion of the head teachers, because the way I'd understood it from the media is that it was out of their control now, and that it was the hands of local authorities who didn't know our children, didn't know the circumstances, which to me wouldn't have made sense. But
well, no, that's right. But I think the fact that the heads, you know, the regulations and the explanatory note from the regulations is very, very clear that head teachers are prohibited. That's the word that's used in the regulations. They are prohibited from granting leave of absence for a family holiday. They can only grant other leave of absence in exceptional circumstances. So, you know, that's a tough, it's a tough message for them to have to give, and it's a tough message for them to have to act on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also know that head teachers want to work in partnership with family. They don't want to, you know, be enforcement agencies. They're about learning. They're about families, they're about communities. Education. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it puts them in a bit of a tricky position, in a way. But and Mary, what would be, just before we let you go, I mean, I can't thank you enough for everything you've told us this evening. You've illuminated me completely. But what would be your final tips to parents out there listening to you on the subject of authorised and unauthorised absences?
I suppose the one thing that I would say is, if you've got a concern, speak to the head teacher, or if you're in secondary school, speak to the head of year. the more communication that you have with a school, the better it is for your child, your understanding, and the school's understanding of your situation. And really, you need to have a relationship of trust with your school to get the most out of your child. I would hate to see parents and head teachers in opposition to each other. It's not helpful.
Certainly not. Absolutely. Mary Bainton, thank you very much for your for joining us this evening. And we'd also like to thank Mary McAvoy from Neave Solicitors in Hertfordshire.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.